Hello, welcome to the Bev Moore Show, live streaming on the iHeart Network and over 185 broadcast stations in 37 countries. I'm your host, Bev Moore. My guest today is a SAG-AFTRA actor, screenwriter, and director. George Zavalos is my guest. He is known for appearing in TV's detective series, Bull, Blacklist, Instinct, and more. We will be back after the break with SAG-AFTRA actor George Zavalos, a multi-award-winning actor, screenwriter, and director of independent television shows and films. Stay with us to hear highlights of his very successful career on camera and behind the scenes.
Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond.
With just a few days before Valentine's Day, I hope you're feeling lots of love in your heart for the people you love and for yourself. My interview with actor, screenwriter, director George Zevalos is coming up. When we come back, George shares how he transitioned from a law enforcement career to playing detective roles in popular network TV shows 30 years later. He says being raised by a very strong-willed mother from Greece helped him to become a strong man determined to make his own way into the world. We will be back after the break.
Hi, I'm Carson Kressley. Of all the most valuable resources in the world, kindness is the most precious. For more than 140 years, American Humane has been working to make the world a kinder place for animals. Rescuing those caught in disasters, protecting animals on our farms, on the silver screen, and the world's remarkable and endangered species who need our care to help them survive. All of us can make a difference by making humane choices at the supermarket, in our choice of entertainment, and by supporting conservation and rescue efforts. It's not hard at all. Make being kind a lifestyle choice and visit AmericanHumane.org for simple ways you can help build a more caring, compassionate, and humane world for animals and for all of us.
Welcome to the Bev Moore Show, George.
Nice to see you, Bev. Actually, hear you, Bev, from New York City.
Wonderful. When did you start acting, and what got you started?
Well, I worked, my primary career was working in law enforcement and other ventures before I became involved in the entertainment business. But I first was given the idea when I was 19, when I was stepped into a diner in New York City, a Greek diner, and met with the famous John Cassavetes and my childhood hero, actor Telly Savalas. They were speaking to somebody that was a mutual acquaintance of my dad's, and they're like, damn, you're pretty big, because I'm nearly 6'5". And I started speaking with them. I was in uniform. I was a paramedic already. And you have a really nice presence. You should go to acting school, maybe take a couple of classes over at the acting studio or over at Lee Strasberg, which I later did. But at that time, I was more interested in going into law enforcement. And not till 30 years later, after I finished my primary careers, that I started working on sets as a boom holder, boom mic holder, a gaffer. And the director said, look, the guy we have who came in to play this cult leader in this crime reenactment ain't that good. Would you learn a couple of these lines and see what we look like on camera? I did what he asked me to do, and he goes, boy, the camera loves you. You should think about going to acting school. And it hit a little chord in my head, and then I got some headshots, I took some acting classes, eventually took some conservatory classes over at Lee Strasberg or whatever those were, and studied Meisner, Adler, Chubbuck. And I also graduated from the New York Film Academy with my filmmaking degree. So I know how to act in front of the camera. Well, at least I think I do. And I enjoy being behind the lens as well. So here we are today.
That's great. Well, you know, I was what got my attention was, you know, you studied Adler and Meisner method, and that has always intrigued me, you know, because it helps actors observe their scene partner, you know, and remain present. You know, it's just intriguing. And so what got you started in that method? I mean, what inspired you?
Between Strasberg, Adler, and Meisner, they're all Stanislavski.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a different kind. The Strasberg is using emotional memory, which can deplete you, but you get a real genuine performance of authenticity. Adler is a combination, and Meisner is the art of using everything taught by Stanislavski, but also doing it, being able to do it in an improv way. And I studied all of these method forms because I've realized that one trumps the other in different scenes with different characters. That's why I find it very comfortable to use. And you're not thinking about it when you're doing it. You're just doing it because of your training.
As a training. Yeah, it's great emotional preparation.
It is. I'm a screenwriter, and I give direction to the actors. I don't just drop them into my universe of my script. I give them the backstory of where they are, why they are there, and what's going on in that person's life that might affect how they could act the scene. I know that when I get sides as an actor, I don't know what's going on. They're like, just say these four lines, and that's your take. You know, that's your, you know, that's your, you send that in as an audition. And it's very difficult to try to read the situation, but you can get creative. And sometimes the casting director's like that. But I give direction.
Yes. And that's what's helped you be so well-rounded, being a director, producer, and actor.
Well, I appreciate always trying for myself to perfect the art and craft of my acting. Because I never thought myself good in front of the camera. It's what other people think of me, that how that my acting performance was outstanding or short of remarkable, nothing short of remarkable, or things of that nature. Same thing with my filmmaking. For example, at the end of 2022, which is just a minute ago, I won my film won a Cannes Short Film Festival. And we came in finalists at the Cannes World Film Festival. And today I got a notification from the New London, Connecticut Film Festival that we won Best Short Film. So it's not what I think that matters when it comes to the quality of what I've done. It's what I think when it comes to putting the scenes together and writing the dialogue and the stories. That's what matters to me. It's up to others to decide whether what I wrote or what I filmed is worthy of an award. And when you go up against several hundred or several thousand films and you come out as winner or finalist, semifinalist or something like that, that says a lot, because you're really only competing against yourself and how to make something that people really want to see.
Right. So wouldn't you say this is your motivation behind a successful actor?
I can only speak for myself. I come from a Greek-American family with a long oral storytelling tradition. And I used to watch and wonder when my grandparents, great-grandparents, my parents, even my brothers, because I can envision what they were saying in my mind's eye. And if you can envision it in your mind's eye and you live life and have any sort of wisdom, you could put pen to paper and bring true characters to life based on the things that you've experienced and the people you've known, the books you read, the plays you've seen, and things of that nature. So my motivation behind it is to always bring out the human condition, real life situation in every role. When you read my script as an actor, I've had award-winning actors say to me, your words cut me to the core. This is
powerful. That is powerful.
And it's flattering. It's flattering. And I'm like, okay, because we're each not the best judge of our own character or our own performance. You depend on others that are valuable and their opinions mean something to elevate you, because they can easily crush you saying what you wrote was bad. But I'm getting what you wrote is outstanding. I haven't seen a script like this, and I've been in the industry for 40 years. That to me is compelling. And I had one of my acting coaches say to me, listen, George, you maybe haven't been doing this for 40 years, but your acting is between a tough guy, James Gandolfini, to a nice guy like John Candy, because you got range. I mean, that's flattery.
Yes.
That's flattery to me. I don't want to be painted in the corner because I'm a big guy as a tough ruffian. I like to be known as the father that I am in real life of four children, the husband that I am of a wife, the son I am of a mother, you know, a productive member of my society, not just mere thug. So I find what people say to me very flattering.
You're vast like the ocean, yet the voices in your head have got you. You don't really know how powerful you are. Always in motion, I smile to myself as I watch you. You don't need to win me over, I've been yours. You don't need to dress it up, no, no. Don't need to put on airs to make me care. You got that golden touch, oh, yeah. I mean, I know you're scared, but are you aware? You are made of stardust, the universe inside you, yeah. A straight up miracle, it's so sometimes can forget you're brilliant like stardust. Luminous. I don't want perfection. You don't like it when I see you right through you. Tell me what you're. I love you just the same. Hey, love's made of lessons. Through all the hell and all the hallelujah. You don't need to worry, I'm not playing games. You don't need to dress it up, no, no. Don't need to put on airs to make me care. Yeah, you got that good.
the Bev Moore Show, live streaming on the iHeart Network on over 185 broadcast stations in 37 countries around the world. My interview with actor George Zuvalos continues.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You also served as a judge on the Daytime Emmys at the National Academy of Television Arts. Tell me about that.
Well, that was a very interesting take on the other side of not only the camera, but the business. You see how people jockey to get an award when they submit their production. And you have to review a lot of films. I think at the time that I was doing it, no less than 5-6 dozen in different categories and voted on them the way we do with when you vote on SAG films as a Screen Actors Guild member. At home, I get a combination between online views. So all the films that are up before they become Academy Award nominated, the Screen Actors Guild for the Screen Actors Guild Awards also votes. So in the combination, it's sort of the similar thing, but with different guilds. One is for the Emmys and one is for the Oscars. It's an interesting experience. If they ask me to do it again, I will. If I submit a film that I'm able to be a judge again, I will. But at the time, we had submitted a one or two TV series that played on daytime that streamed on Amazon Prime. And I was happy to be part of making those films and those TV series. They're small productions, some Christmas movies and things of that nature. But if I'm asked to go back again, I'd definitely do it.
Wow. It's a great experience.
It is. Yeah. I'm also a member of the New York Women for Film and Television.
Yeah, that was my next thing I was going to bring up. Yeah. How long have you been a member?
Since 2016, I believe, 16 or 17. And I find, like in my stories, by and large, women are the protagonists in my stories. I was raised with a very strong will, Spartan mother, literally from Sparta in Greece. And she embodied and still embodies the very essence of raising a strong man to be independent from underneath his mother's skirt and to go out and make his own way into his world. So well, being one of three brothers, my mother would have us, one would clean the ceiling with ammonia in the kitchen, the other one would clean the bathroom. There was no free lunch. Everybody had something to do as men in the house. When I left my mom, I knew how to sew my own holes in my socks, starch my own shirt, and cook my own meal besides learning how to boil water. So she very much raised us to be self-sufficient and strong men with no sense of entitlement, but a sense of hard work and being a good partner to your mate.
That's wonderful.
My wife
thinks so. Absolutely wonderful. Well, I guess so. Yeah, you don't find men like that. I wish they were everywhere like that.
Well, I'm trying to raise one like that. I have four kids, three daughters, that are in their 20s and a son who will be 12 in February. And you try to instill in them the very basic fundamental things of being a good person. So you love your neighbor. And I tell my kids, and I hate to get biblical, but it's the way I was raised, and I'm not beyond reproach, but love thy neighbor is very strong. But there's nothing in the Bible that says you got to agree with them. So there's no need to be cruel, but you got to love people for who they are and let them and value that they are autonomous human beings and they're entitled to their opinion without being vilified.
Right.
It's a good thing.
Absolutely. Love thy neighbor. Wonderful words. So let's go back to
love thy neighbor,
role.
Not love my neighbor, not thy neighbor's wife.
Right.
I said love thy neighbor, but not thy neighbor's wife.
Not the wife. No, yeah, stay away from the wife.
Absolutely. Little joke.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good one. So let's go back to your roles in movies. What was the first role you ever landed?
Wow. It was background. Like everybody else, started out in the background. And you slowly get yourself to the front. I've been in the film industry 11 years now. And I think a couple of the roles that I got on the Discovery Channel, or whether it was on Evil Lives Here or People Magazine Investigates, were my first true roles, where I had lines and was featured. Those were non-union roles, but they were still fun to do. I enjoyed acting like myself, because in the films that I'm in, the roles that I play, I act like a variation of me. And that's why my performances are so genuine, because I'm not acting like I'm being a cop or being part of the fire department or being a paramedic or being a dad or crying or laughing, because I've done all those things in real life.
Right.
So there's no pretending. So I was in the Boy Scouts. I was involved in my church. I was, you know, I'm a public speaker on issues like pay equity for all genders, irrespective. Pay equity is a big thing for me because I have daughters. I don't want them to be carried differently than a man if they're equally qualified. You know, things like that are very high on my 501c3 not-for-profit give back to the community. So the idea is to be a good steward of your community, and that is raising good, strong children that can think for themselves and respect one another. And people. It's a good thing.
It's a good thing. So where you're at today, what type of roles do you tend to fall into? I mean, I know you said you can play anything from John Candy to the other, you know, big.
Yeah, well, you know. That's what they say about me. The roles that I'm playing, like I'm in a film which I'm screenwriting and directing, and I have very great cast of characters like John Fiore and Dick Rantulain and Diana Durango. We're going to be filming at the end of February. And in that role, I play a flawed character in a modern day Romeo, Juliet, urban adaptation that's really a Greek tragedy. A very tragic figure. Other roles I play, I am the antithesis of a superhero. I'm a villain in fan films like in The Next Generation. And then I have two proof of concept films called Daddy's Dozen, All Jokes Aside, where I play someone's father. And a boy asked me to come to take my daughter to the school prom. And then yet I play another person in a film which is out there and winning a crazy amount of awards called Ashes to Ashes. It's a proof of concept film where I play a very big man that's a little bit on the shy type, trying to approach a younger woman, and they meet amongst tragedy. My wife died. Her husband died. The funeral home mixed up the urns, and I go meet her. And another love affair blossoms. So I don't typecast myself, and I don't take roles. Well, that would be a lie. If a big movie studio said, here's a big bag of money to play a tough guy, I'd run and do it. But if I'm typecasting myself, it's not going to be just as a tough guy. It's going to be in, wow, you know, a teacher, a doctor, a priest, the dean of a school, a principal, a nurse, a doc, you know, like that. So mm-hmm. those are the roles I'm playing now, or I try to play.
But that's such a wide variety. I mean, that's great. Because so many actors, they get in that other stereotype, they get in a certain stereotype, and that's all they can play, you know?
I don't mind that at all, but I don't want it for myself. I think others have made a very good career of it.
Right.
But because
right.
I write a lot, because I write a lot, and I cooperate with other screenwriters, I'm able to pick these independent productions that are flatter my other acting abilities in the range that I have, instead of just being the shell of a person people look at on my IMDb photo, or when I'm holding a shotgun, or when I'm angry.
Mm-hmm.
I walk down the street. I'm pretty big. So I'm nearly 6'5". I walk down the street, and late at night, people cross it because I'm an imposing-looking person. And when people ask me, go, you know, people are scared of you. I said, my kids aren't scared of me.
They don't realize.
My wife ain't scared of me. My mama loved me.
Yeah, they don't know you're a big teddy bear, do they? They don't know, do they?
Well, but it's because in this society, in many societies around the world, we buy with our eyes. We make very quick determinations on someone's character based on their physical appearance, totally disregarding what could be a good soul. But dollars to donuts, if a big guy's walking down the street and behind you in an alley, he's not going to tap you on the shoulder to give you a dozen roses. He's going to rob you. So I understand why people might think that way.
See us in the park, strolling the summer days of imaginings in my head, and words from our hearts told only to the winds, felt even without being said. I don't wanna bore you with my trouble. And makes me weak and knocks me off my feet. There's something about your love. And makes me weak and knocks me off my feet. Knocks me off my feet. I don't wanna bore you with it.
I
Valentine's Day is coming up. Remember, when we give love, we can receive love. My interview with actor George Zuvalos continues. We will be back after the break.
We are strong, we are resilient, and we will get through this together. But these are stressful times, and it's important to also practice good self-care. It's normal to feel overwhelmed, anxious, or afraid, but there is hope. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, stay in touch with your community, and know that you are not alone. Learn more at wearebroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
So let's talk about some of your films. What are some of the films that you really, top films that you want to, you know, bring up and let us know about?
Well right now, I think because of the kudos and the accolades that we're getting and the actors that are interested after reading the script to play the roles in this film, it's called Once a Week for Life, or OWFL. And we are trying to film this on a short schedule, but that doesn't happen because these actors are coming from Omaha, San Francisco, Tampa. They're coming from all over, so you have to make sure that you have the budget to house them and feed them and the film crews we got here already. But Once a Week for Life is a film I think might put my name on the map as a feature film, as a screenwriter and a director. Only time will tell. It's a nice little story, and I alluded to it earlier. It's a modern day Romeo and Juliet urban adaptation, it's about a cop and a nurse. They're both married to two different people, and they fall in love with each other. But there's a lot that happens in between that. I would say that's like the mayonnaise between two pieces of bread before you put the cheese and the meat on it. But that's, you know, the basic gist of it. We don't focus on anything else other than the human condition, how things happen between people. The film is very relatable. It's going to be very relatable to people of all kinds because just things happen. Things happen to all of us. You hear it? If it didn't happen to you, it happened to a brother, a sister, your friend, their brother or sister. And it's a film about tragedy and rebirth. And you can get your tissues ready, but you're also going to laugh.
I love this kind of movie.
Yeah, there has to be some sort of hope. I don't want to make a 2-hour movie that all you're doing is weeping, you know.
Right.
Because you're not watching like The Passion of Christ, because from beginning to end you're crying. I didn't want a movie like that.
Right.
That's what I was trying to say.
Right. Now you said the film that you're doing right now. I mean, you're doing all three roles: directing, producing, and acting.
Actually, screenwriting.
And screenwriting.
Yeah, I'm wearing all four hats, and luckily I have a good, solid team that can handle the parts of it. Because when I'm in front of the camera, I depend on my Emmy Award-winning cinematographer, George Jacumis, who works over at CBS in New York City, to help me realize my vision of what a scene looks like. Because if you keep stopping to keep playing things back to the director who happens to be the actor, you'll never get anything done. Except for certain scenes that are really important to me. I mean, they're all important to me, but ones that are require the right kind of drama or pitch, I'd like to see those for myself, but I depend on George and people on his team to call a final shot on any scene that we're filming. And we always film with three or four cameras at the same time. We're not a one camera film shoot.
Oh,
very
yeah.
Rare.
Yeah, this is the most successful. Yeah.
Well, it saves time, right? I mean, as long as you can get the lighting and the cameras so they're not in the view of each other, Mm-hmm. You can film a lot of the scenes with three cameras. At different angles, mm-hmm. two close-ups and one mid, without breaking the fourth wall while you're doing it. It is an art, and I film a lot in a fashion that's what they call simplistic. A lot of my scenes are like the camera's a fly on the wall, and the viewer is sucked into the scene without realizing that they're watching a film. And that comes from the early adaptations of filmmaker John Cassavetes, who's considered, he's also a Greek American. He's considered the father of the late 20th century's prolific film directors. He passed mm-hmm. on when he was young. I use very much his style without copycatting all of it, but what seems natural to me and what I prefer to have my films look like.
Well, you know, that is so much to do, to wear so many hats. What would you say is the toughest part of your work?
Raising the money.
My blues away. I'm gonna light up.
Moore Show, live streaming on the iHeart Network and on over 185 broadcast stations in 37 countries around the world. I'm Bev Moore. My interview with actor George Zuvalos continues.
No matter who we are or where we come from, we all experience difficulties in life.
Military veterans know that sometimes it takes strength and determination to make it through.
Whether it's physical challenges or struggles on the inside, it takes strength to ask for help when you need it.
Learn how veterans like us have reached out for help and hear stories of strength and recovery at maketheconnection.net.
I'll take a scene from the film Arthur. I'm a nobody from Queens.
Mm-hmm.
And this is being an actor in the United States or anywhere in the world is an extremely competitive business to begin with. You have to be lucky, which means hard work meeting opportunity, where someone is able to realize you as an actor because you put yourself in front of them. So acting is much more than just, to me anyway, you have to be willing in our today's world to be risky, and you act, but I have a catchphrase I use, my mantra. You should act in the roles, the lead roles that you cast yourself in, with things that you write that you want others to cast you in. So If you're not going to make your own material and you're just sitting idle without growing, without going to classes, coaching, getting coached, dealing with your contemporaries and people that are better actors than you, you're never going to learn. You're going to stay stagnant and everything will be static in your life. You have to be risky. Only you can get up off of the couch and dust yourself off and say, okay, this is hard. It's disheartening. It's demoralizing sometimes. I don't feel appreciated, but you got to keep pushing. And those people who keep pushing are the ones that are more likely to get to where they need to go. But you can't realize that by sitting on the couch just watching Netflix. You got to go and try to get on Netflix.
That's right. Absolutely. If you don't believe in it, nobody else will.
Yeah, everybody can be an actor. There's a role for everybody. Everybody. There's a role for everybody, every kind of look. There's nobody too ugly or too pretty. If you notice nowadays, The major motion pictures and TV shows are showing just normal-looking people. They're not the Greta Garbo and the James Stewart-looking, perceptually, these people were aesthetically very pleasing to the eye. To make something look real, you have to have real-looking people. And they don't all have to be supermodels. Because most of us aren't. We're just not. I'm not. I cast people that look like they come from the neighborhoods or the communities that my film represents.
Mm-hmm.
I don't bring... You know, I have a friend of mine. She was Miss Greece for 2021. And she's great to look at and a sweetheart of a person. But I don't have a role for her in this film. I just don't. She would look so out of place. I told her, hun, I could only make you a hooker.
Oh, my God.
And I don't think you want that. I don't think you want that because we have a couple of ladies of the evenings in the scene. And even then, you'd be too high caliber for the types that I'm casting. That are people who are strung out on drugs and are stuck in this life, trying to feed their families, working this way. You look like you're living well. You look healthy.
Yeah, I see what you mean. You have to fit that profile.
Some makeup helps, but I'd have to make her look like the Elephant Man to get her on this set. And that's a lot of makeup.
Right. Wow. What do you think is most important in your field?
To tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that truth may be, because the truth sometimes lies and is relative to depending on from what shoes you're filling. But if you can tell the story of no matter how imperfect the truth is, it could be mourned by many hats and still not be the full truth of a situation. Because the truth sometimes is not pretty.
Exactly.
And but the story needs to be told. I tell my children, I'm perfectly imperfect. I'm fine with that. You know, I might be an angel, but I ain't no saint.
Right.
And that hits a lot of, it resonates a lot with my kids and others. You know, I'm not infallible. And I think people that we film and the stories that we write proves that nobody is infallible, no matter how good the intentions are. Good intentions don't pay the rent. This doesn't take
it. No.
No. You know, good intentions are fine and all, but the proof is in the pudding. Let your words turn into actions that are actionable and appreciated, not just mere hollow words. And that's the kind of films that I try to incorporate when I build my characters and my stories. They're based on real people that, or traits of real people that I've come across in my life, either that I really respected or downright despised.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, I've met more people that I respected than I despised.
Right. Have you progressed as you have expected?
More than I ever deserved.
Wonderful.
I feel very grateful.
Like you have. Yes.
I feel very grateful. I lived the life of 10 men already. And raising my children is my primary goal. And being a filmmaker is my secondary role. I'm not about to give up my family to progress my career. That's why I'm in New York mm-hmm. City as a screenwriter, and I haven't tried my luck as an actor in Los Angeles, because I've seen most of those people come back here broke, literally broke as people and broke
right.
financially.
Broke.
or broken, yeah. even.
Broke and broken.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's
and,
right.
You know, my daddy told me, you know, George, you can be smart, and you can also learn from other people's mistakes. You don't have to make every single one of them yourself.
Right.
That's proved to be a very, very valuable. But we come from a society where the ancient Greeks value the fact that the gods favor the bold. And I've lived a bold life as well, and I do bold things with my filmmaking. We'll see when this thing comes out.
That's very obvious. I'm gonna ask you this. What's next for you?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Let's see how these films progress. Because most actors, they want to be actors to get to be directors. Now, I've done that.
Gotcha.
And not everybody can write.
That's true.
And people say they like what I have to say in my characters.
Well, I'm going to be following you, George. I'm going to be watching you.
And Bev, I'm going to be watching you too. You know.
Oh, yeah. I'm going
to
be doing it.
And listening to you.
And listening. Yes, absolutely.
You got some great guests.
Yeah, including you. You're top of the chart
nice
here.
Thank you.
Wow. I'm going to ask you this question because you are so strong. What can you advise our listeners who may not be as familiar with your line of work?
I would say that look around. The cemeteries around this earth are filled with unfinished business and regret. Now, We only have so much time in this world and on this earth before we get buried in it and underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
Move in any direction, but always move forward. Life is too short to be in pain and live with the regrets of not at least getting off your couch and trying your best. That's what I have to say.
That is wonderful advice. Thank you, George.
Thank you, Beth.
Okay. And thank you for being a guest on the Bev Moore Show. That's our show for this week. I hope you enjoyed my amazing guest, actor, screenwriter, and director George Zuvelos. Wishing you a happy Valentine's Day. I'm Bev Moore. Until next time, bye-bye.
Sometimes I wander down the street, the place I swept you off your feet. I haven't seen you here in a while. That drink you love still tastes the same. The DJ hasn't changed. He just put on our favorite record right now.